remember Louis Giglio had a video, "How Great Is Our God," and every time that I sing that song, I just imagine what he had talked about, how incredibly huge our God is and how often we limit him in our lives. The fact that he has created us on this little ball in the whole scope of everything, and yet he knows exactly what each one of us is doing and loves us with an intense love, is just incredible to even comprehend that God would even care about any one of us. But how great is our God? Would you join with me in prayer? Father, truly we do not deserve to be in your presence for even a moment. But yet out of your greatness and your love for us and your mercy, you desire to be with us. Lord, would you speak to our hearts in these moments? Would you open our eyes to see how incredible you are? And in the flip side of that, to be able to take the name of Jesus wherever we go from this place, taking your love, your kindness, your goodness, your compassion into a world that is hurting and in need of a Savior. Speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week I asked you to do something in the beginning. I said, I want you to write down three things that you love. Right? So I want to do something similar to that, but I'm changing what the question is. This morning, I want you to write down three things this week that you saw the goodness of God in. Three things that you saw the goodness of God in. Now, this one might be a little bit harder because when we say, oh, what are the things that we love? Well, that kind of comes pretty easy to us. But when we're talking about the goodness of God, that's a little bit different, isn't it? So what are three things that you would say this past week you saw the goodness of God in your life? Is that a little bit harder than last week? Anybody struggling with that one? You know, I've often wondered why that whenever something bad happens in a person's life, the first thing that we do is we blame God. We get angry with God, right? We're like, God, why would you let this happen? Why didn't you do this? You must be mad at me. I must have done something. And what we do is kind of say that God is the one who had a problem. Many people have walked away from God. Many people have walked away from the church because of this one point. Why would a loving God or why would a good God do something like this? Why would he allow this to happen? If God loved me, then nothing bad would ever happen to me. It would always be good. It would always be roses. Everything would be great. And we see that that should be the way that it is. So when something bad happens, we walk away. We're angry. Why does this happen? As I was reading, preparing for this, one of the things that jumped out to me is simply this. The reason why we find ourselves getting angry with God is because we don't see the goodness of God often. See, what we do is we find those things that are difficult, we find those things that are hard, and we focus on those things, but we miss out on the things where God has been good and showing his goodness to us. Understand that this is what Moses is doing in Deuteronomy as he's preparing the children of Israel to enter into the promised land. It's interesting as you read through the book of Deuteronomy how many times that Moses uses the word remember. Remember what God has done. Remember that God did this. And you see this played out time and time again through the book of Deuteronomy because Moses is saying, guys, I don't want you to forget God's goodness. I don't want you to forget what he has done for you. Remember what he has done. And we see this in the text this morning. If you turn to me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is one of those times where Moses is reminding them of God's goodness. We're going to read several verses here, starting at verse 1 of Deuteronomy 8. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the seat in front of you, or you can use a device that is there in your hand. But Deuteronomy 8, starting at verse 1, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out on your feet, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, a deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land of with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness when your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." You notice how many times in that passage that Moses told the people, remember God, remember God, remember this, remember that. You need to remember God's goodness. You know, if you stop and you consider how many times God interjected himself into the children of Israel's life, It's such a huge number. I mean, you think about it, that he defeated enemies for them. He fought battles for them. He provided food and water. Now, understand, this wasn't a simple family. You know, it wasn't like one little family is like, okay, I can provide for you. This was, as they're wandering in the desert, this was like, they say, over a million people. And God is providing food. He's providing enough water for them. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by the day. He provided plunder for them. I mean, you consider when they left Egypt, God put favor in the heart of the Egyptians. So the people of Israel went to them and said, hey, give us your gold and silver. And they plundered Egypt as they left. God also provided that when enemies would attack them and he would destroy them, that then they would have plunder again. All of these things. He says, look, also, when we were in the desert and we're wandering for 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out. Now, some of you might go, I don't see that as a blessing. I like new clothes every once in a while. But could you imagine wearing the same outfits, having the same wardrobe for 40 years, and it never wears out at all? Maybe some of you guys are going, yeah, that's my wardrobe right now, you know. And he says, look, your feet didn't even swell as you're walking. For 40 years, they walked around in a desert, hot, dry, not good. I mean, can you imagine? It was rocky. If you've ever been to Israel, it's not a night, you know, it's like you see these desert pictures where it's like beautiful sand. That's not what it was. It was rocky. It was hilly. There was crevices. There was all these things. I mean, people, you would easily twist ankles, roll ankles. And he says, your feet didn't even swell for 40 years as you walked through the desert. Remember God's goodness. And time again, this is what Moses says to them. Why did Moses say this to the children of Israel? Why was it so? Well, one, he puts it in there. He says, because if you don't remember, you're going to forget it and you're going to say it's all by your own doing. But part of this was, once again, here they are standing on the entrance of the promised land. And the last time Moses was there, the people of Israel decided not to enter in because of fear. And so Moses now is going, guys, remember, we were there once before, but remember what God has done. Let's advance. Let's go in. We can advance with intention because the goodness of God goes with us. When we look in our lives, one of the things that we can see is we can move forward with Christ, advancing His kingdom in this world in which we live, because we advance with the goodness of God. And this means that we remember, first of all, that God is good. God is good. This is the foundation of where this all is. God is good. The result, His goodness, is the result of the fact that at the very core of who He is, He is good. Now understand that when a person comes and they say, God, why would you allow this to happen? Why would you do this to me? That is a question of God's goodness. Because what we tend to find is, as we are questioning God's motives in this, we're questioning whether or not is God fully good, or is there some evil within God? Why would you do this to me? But the prophet Nahum, in Nahum 1 verse 7, says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. I mean, he puts it pretty straightforward. God is good. All the times, God is good. There is never a time that God is not good. You know, God doesn't have those moments where you're standing on the edge of a cliff and go, I wonder what it would be like if I pushed Him right now. God doesn't do that. You know, I mean, when you have a sibling, how many times did you see them in a position and you're like, God doesn't do that. God doesn't have those thoughts. God's thoughts are always good, all the time. He is never selfish. He is never petty. We can be selfish. We can be judgmental. We can be petty. I can do that quite often. As hard as we try to live a good life, there is always those times where evil wins out within our heart. But understand that this is never the case with God. Evil never wins out in His heart because He is always good. The psalmist in Psalm 25 verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in His ways. Not only is God understood as good, but His ways are always right. They are always perfect. They are always correct. Again, He's never had a bad thought about a single person. Yes, we can grieve the heart of God. We see throughout Scripture that there were times where it says that God's heart was grieved and He said, why did I ever do this? I mean, there were times where He's like, why did I ever create these people? Because His heart was grieved by sin. But He never sat there and went, you know what? I think I just want to throw some bad things at them this week. I think I'm going to burn down a couple of houses just for the fun of it and see how they react. God's purposes are always good. God's purposes are always right. God's purposes are always to fulfill His will. And so that is something that we can take with us all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you read through the book of Psalms, this is a phrase that is repeated time and time and time and time again. The Lord is good and His love endures forever. It repeats it. The psalmist, even in his own mind, it's almost like he's reminding himself of this. God is good and His love endures forever. I want you to see something that oftentimes we can easily overlook. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is what is called the fruit of the Spirit. Where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, what we often say is we say these are the fruit of the Spirit, and these are the things that as Christians we should be displaying in our lives if the Holy Spirit lives within us, right? And so what we do is what we've transferred this, we need to be good. But do you understand that in order for us to be good, the giver had to be good? For us to be able to display goodness means that at the core of who the giver was, they are good themselves. So for you and I to be able to be good, to show goodness, that is a characteristic of God. That is one of those Christ-like characteristics that we have. Christ is God. He's given to us the Holy Spirit. This embodies who He is. So we can say from the very beginning, God is always good. The very core of who God is good. But then we can look and see in this fact that we need to remember God's goodness to us. Remember His goodness to you. This is what Moses was saying. He goes, guys, don't forget. Yes, God is good. God is always good. He's always this way. But don't forget His goodness towards you. The things that He did for you while He was in the desert. Remember the question that I asked just a few moments ago. In what ways has God been good to you this week? Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. You know, that to me is very interesting because it says that He's good to all. All that He has made, all of His creation, God is good to. Even those who have chosen to reject Him, God shows goodness towards. Again, Moses would remind these people of Israel that God has been good even in their unfaithfulness. But if you look throughout Scripture, you see time and time again stories of God doing good things, giving good things to His people. You see where God fights battles for them. Gideon, you see where God goes before armies and he disrupts the enemy and they end up killing themselves and there's not even a battle that takes place. You see where God parts the Red Sea so that the children of Israel can walk across on dry land and then drops it back on the Egyptians. You see where God calms the storm in the middle of a sea as it was going to just take a boat down and He calms the storm. You see where a man named Daniel is thrown into a hungry den of lions where nature would, those lions should have ripped him apart, but God in His goodness caused the mouths of the lions to be shut so that they wouldn't even touch him. Goodness after goodness after goodness, we see the stories of God where, I mean, Jesus, as He's walking the face of this earth, people simply walking up, touching His cloak and being healed. God's goodness on display. When we see that God is good to us, when we recognize God's goodness in our lives, it impacts the way in which we live. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, Peter says it this way, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, not that you have now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. What a great thing. You've tasted, you've seen that God has been good to you. Now that you've tasted it, crave more. Crave more of God. Go deeper into who He is. And that's one of the things. The more that we see that God is good, the more that we see the goodness of God in our lives, the more that we want to go deeper into who He is. You know, it's really not an uncommon thing. When someone is good to you, what do you tend to do? You want to be around that person. You want to do good things back in return. You find yourself that you want to make sure that they feel loved, encouraged, and appreciated because they were good to you in the beginning. And there's this reciprocating thing that happens. When God is good to us, we want to go deeper into Him. But what happens if I don't recognize it, I don't watch for it, or I don't care about it? You see, what then happens is we begin to take the goodness of God for granted. We begin to overlook those things that He has done. And then all of a sudden, it's only the things that we recognize are the major things, the huge things, you know, the major miracles in our life. You know what? God took away this disease, or God healed me of this, or, you know, this was horrible, horrible, horrible situation, but God did this. But we miss all of the little ones. And if we miss all those little ones, all of a sudden what happens is this becomes a one-sided relationship. God, I need more from you. I need more. I need more evidence that you are good. I need more evidence that you are God. And all of a sudden, it's more of this, God, just give to me and I'll take more and more and more. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, when we understand the goodness of God in our lives, it drives us to worship. It drives us to the place where we can't help but praise God for who He is, all that He has done. We can't wait to be in His presence so that we can exalt Him as our Lord and our Savior, because He has done good. He is good. I want to stop here and give us a challenge. Usually the challenge comes at the end, but I want to give us the challenge now. And we'll come back to it in the end. I find that I can easily get to the place of complaining. Do you find that in yourself? I see a lot of bad things. I notice bad things. I don't like this. I don't like this. I wish that they would do this. I wish that they would do that. This person said this to me and I didn't like what they said, or they did this towards me. I don't like what they did. I wish the church would do this or that. I wish the music was this or that. I think we should do this or that. And the next thing we know is we have one thing after another. I don't like what that person did. I don't like it. And we start complaining about what's going on in our lives. Let me ask you a couple of questions before I give you the challenge this morning. First question, in the last 24 hours, if you can remember, how many things did you complain about? How many things did you complain about? I mean, it could be just about anything. Your meat wasn't done to perfection at the restaurant last night. Or your toast was burnt. Or something happened that, you know, whatever it might be. You see, complaining is the negative. It's not just the big thing. It's anything that we focus our attention on. In the last 24 hours, did you say anything negative about a situation or a person? Let me ask you the next question. How many things did you thank God for over the past 24 hours? How many things did you see the goodness of God in the last 24 hours, recognizing them, thanking Him and praising Him for that? You see, we live in a culture that is tipped to one side. And what God is saying and Moses is telling the children of Israel is, remember the goodness of God. Let's tip that back. So here's the challenge. And it's not going to be an easy challenge for you this week. Here's the challenge. That over this next week, go without complaining. Do not complain about anything. Some of you are going to walk out and the first thing you're going to say is, I don't like the challenge that pastor gave to us today. But I'm not complaining. Go a whole week without complaining at all. Second, instead of complaining this week, notice everything that God is giving you, big or small. Praise Him for all of the benefits. Can I tell you what you'll experience this week if you take on this challenge? Now, I realize some of you are just going to go, yeah, forget it. I want to complain. But if you do this, one, you'll find that it's hard not to complain. You'll find that it has become so much a part of who we are that a moment that that comes to your mind and you're pushing it back out, that you realize, has this been regular for me? But the second thing is, as you do this, as you slow down the complaining, increase the praising, you will begin to see more of God's goodness in your life. You will notice the little things that God's goodness has provided. Yeah, I mean, and it's fun. Because you'll notice, you know, it's like, oh man, you know what? That toast tasted really good for some reason today. You know, or that drink of water that I had, oh man, it was just right time, it was great. Oh man, perfect. You'll find that those little things. And then you'll find that because of that, you're worshiping God throughout the week more. You're in His presence more. You're experiencing Him more. And it will cause you to want to advance the name of Christ. It will want you to do things because you love Him more. That's how this works. So there's a challenge for this week. But I want to give you another good reason why God's goodness should empower us and give us that intentional advancement. Remember His forgiveness. This is one of the things that is God's goodness. We think of God's goodness as always how He provides things for us. You know, oh, God was good. He gave me this. You know, oh, it was so nice that someone provided this gift card. God did that. Or it was so nice that this happened. God provided this. God's goodness is on display. But do we understand that God's ultimate goodness is displayed in the fact that He forgave us of our sins? Last week we had communion, and we often go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to these words again. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." When we take communion, even in that, He is saying the same words that Moses was saying to the children of Israel. Remember. Guys, remember what I am going to do for you, is what He was saying to the disciples on that night. Remember, in a few hours, I am going to be arrested, I'm going to be put on trial, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be crucified. Remember that I did that. Every time that you take this bread, every time you drink this cup, remember that I gave My life for you. Remember that because of My death and resurrection, you have new life. Don't forget My goodness. My goodness comes with the forgiveness of sins. Now understand that because of God's goodness, our sins are forgiven completely. I love the fact that God doesn't hold on to any portion of the sin. He doesn't hold on to it for another day or for another purpose. The psalmist, he says in Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." John tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the psalmist says, yeah, and that forgiveness, it is complete. It is absolute. It is gone. As far as the east is from the west, He removes it. He removes our sin. He removes the stain of sin from us. He removes the guilt of sin from us. He removes the punishment of sin from us. Now, He doesn't necessarily remove the consequences of sin. We got to understand that. Our sin comes with consequences, but God removes the stain. God removes the punishment. He removes the guilt that Satan wants to keep putting it on. This is the goodness of God. God saying, look, I'm not just saying, okay, it's okay. You sin, you're fine. You're no problem. No. Well, He's removing all that comes with sin. And He's saying, I am declaring you free and innocent. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to You." It's out of His incredible love and goodness that He chose to forgive us our sins. And another great part of God's goodness is He does it right away. See, God doesn't sit there and go, I need to think about that. Have you ever had that where, you know, you or someone has come to you and they've really hurt you, or you've really hurt them, and you recognize that? You go to them, or they come to you and you say, "I am so sorry, will you please forgive me?" And their response is, "I'm going to have to think about that one." Have you ever had that happen? I can tell you that's a horrible feeling. When someone looks at you and says, "I don't know if I can forgive you of the sin. Maybe sometime down the road, but right now I don't know if I can." Could you imagine if God functioned in that way? That we would come to Him and say, "God, I have sinned against you." And He looked at us and He goes, "You know what? That is the 13th time today. That's an unlucky number. I'm going to have to hold on to this one for a while." It would be horrible. We would never know if we were clean or not. But because of God's goodness and His mercy for us, He gives us forgiveness. I love the words of Micah 7:18. "Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." This actually takes God's goodness to the next level, because as we were talking, it's like He doesn't just hold on to it. No, He doesn't hold on to His anger for a long time. But on the flip side of that, He also loves to show mercy. So it's one of these things where God is going, "Please come to me and ask me for forgiveness, because I can't wait to give it to you." Have you ever been so excited to forgive somebody in your life? I mean, it's a crazy to even think about it, isn't it? Someone does something to you, they hurt you so deeply, and you're sitting there going, "Oh man, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I can't wait for them to come and to ask for my forgiveness, because I'm going to give it to them completely." But do you understand that's the heart of God? That the heart of God, the goodness of God, is that He would provide for us the forgiveness of sins. Not only would He provide the forgiveness of sins, but He wouldn't hold on to our sin. He would let it go as far as the east from the west. He would not hold on to His anger for any moment. And He would be excited to give us forgiveness. So understand something here. That when we feel that we are guilty over and over and over, and that we are not worthy, that we are not God's loved ones, that He couldn't love me because of the sin that I have committed, understand that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because God wants to give forgiveness. Because of the goodness of who God is. It's the desire of His heart. Did you come this morning frustrated with God? Did you come angry this morning? Maybe you weren't frustrated with God, but maybe you were frustrated or angry with someone else. When we understand the goodness of God in our lives, we're able to move forward past the hurt. We're able to move forward into what it is that God is calling us to do. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's showing mercy. Maybe it's being generous in love. Maybe it's advancing the name of Jesus Christ with intention. God is good all the time. And understand that He desires to show you His goodness. So once again, let me reiterate the challenge as we close. This week, complain less, praise more. Look for the goodness of God in your life and watch what happens. Advance for the kingdom of God this week with intention in the goodness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You because You are good. There is no one good other than You. We fall short all the time. But what a blessing it is to know that through Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection, Your goodness has been displayed in our lives through the forgiveness of sins. the justification, the righteousness that you've given to each one of us. Lord, may we live with intention, advancing the kingdom of Christ wherever we go. Because we know that wherever we go, the goodness of God goes with us. Bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.